Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. In the studio with me today is Kevin Corton. Kevin is the originator of evolutionary yoga. His teaching has taken him around the world, from Europe to Asia and across the United States. Kevin has been immersed in sound and movement practices since childhood. And today we are going to focus on his vast experience on healing the voice and thus healing our hearts. Welcome, Kevin, to Voice Rising.
Thank you, Kara. Good to hear your beautiful voice.
Thank you. So, Kevin, you have such an amazing path behind you and so much vision in front of you. Your approach to the yoga of sound, it employs both contemporary and ancient technologies. I think that's why you talk about evolutionary yoga, because you have experience with Vedic chants, Sanskrit chants, mantras, Latin liturgy, sacred choral work. And then, of course, how could we forget pop, musical, jazz, classical, poetry? What drew you to walk on this lovely path, which we call the voice path?
Such a great question. You know, when I was a child, you know, it took me a while to discover, I just liked to sing. I didn't really, it was just part of what I did. My mom would sing, she played the piano. You'd sing along with records, you know, like mm-hmm. all of us. And mm-hmm. I guess it was in sixth grade that I was invited to be in a particular select chorus. And I guess when I had the chance to really immerse in music on a more regular basis and mm-hmm. Discover the joy of going deeper and singing with people and then being given some solos. And you know, I wasn't particularly drawn to a lot of sports. I like being physical, mm-hmm. but so it was something that felt like it fit me, you know, and mm-hmm. then, mm-hmm. Well, you know, I had a journey through high school and college and choirs and musicals and started to sing for, you know, for weddings, for funerals, for shows. And then I got bit by the dance bug and really was away from using my voice on a regular basis for quite a while. And it was really when I discovered yoga and then chanting that mm-hmm. I came back to my voice in a new way, and helping, you know, being with other people through their voice, finding their voice. Yeah. I guess that's an overview of the journey.
And then you realize probably how rich it was from all that experience of, I mean, you've traveled in that. I think that's what people don't realize, or they're not conscious of always, that the voice carries all of these stories in its throat, in the heart, in the body, in the bones, Right. Some people always say, imagine where your feet have walked, right? Like the path that you've left behind. But I like to say, like, imagine how many stories, how many conversations, how many beautiful love stories have also been shared through your voice. Like, just, it's so rich, right?
The sound impressions that you received and you gave, and what we say, what we give our voice to is very powerful, and also what we choose not to say.
So we are living, I'm not sure how you're doing in the moment. These are very complex times. We have a global pandemic going on. There's a climate crisis happening, political unrest, and a lot of social injustice, awareness of a great division between people. And it just feels like there is so much mending of the hearts. You talk about healing the voice, healing the hearts, right? We need, there's so much anger and sadness and grief and shock in our bones that we sometimes don't know how to move through it. And so we might even reach for a remote control or the handy. And yet I know from my personal practice that music and the voice really has the power to shift moods and states of minds. And many wisdom traditions around the world, they use music to really evoke those feelings of awe and surrender, trust, and peace. Do you think that these times are begging us to start a voice practice that is more conscious?
Well, that's so beautifully put, you know, connecting us to awe. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are challenging times, to say the least. I'm sitting here in Minneapolis and actually looking at the Mississippi River, which I feel very fortunate to have a vantage point where I live, where I can see the great Mississippi and Minneapolis just on the other side, and, you know, the trial of Derek Chauvin going on, and then even last night in Brooklyn Center, which is right next to Brooklyn Park where I grew up, a young black man was killed by a policeman, assuming. And so, yes, I'm right here in the middle of it, and we're all, I hope, discerning, you know, what do I do? What can I do directly, and also I would say indirectly? And like you were saying, so sound, singing, chanting, it's like any tool, I think it can help us disconnect or reconnect. You know, it can divide us or unite us, any tool actually. So I know that personally I'm drawn to that as a means. I noticed the other day whatever demands of the day, I hadn't yet stopped to chant and sing. And I felt, I don't know, like some pressure and tension. And I just said, okay, sit and sound. And so I chanted for a while, and I felt like something had been discharged on a gross level, you know, that was very helpful. And when we are, like you talk about toning, atoning, at one, you know, these words that there's something about when I pause to tune into myself, to tune into the pitches that the chants or the songs have that is directing the mind. When the mind becomes more focused, things start to align, you know, the planets align, the breath. And the mind becomes, the thoughts become quieter and more positive, and the breath becomes easier and longer, and the body becomes easier. And then we can start to tune into what I might say is the inner voice, regardless of whatever we sound like through our physical voice. There's that deep voice I came across a quote I really wanted to share yesterday.
Yeah, share it.
It's a Rumi quote. Mm-hmm. Actually, I came across this page. It was like a smorgasbord of Rumi quotes. But this one I hadn't heard before. It says, "There is a voice that doesn't use words. Listen." Mm-hmm. And I think that, so like you were saying, sound, chanting, singing, music can help change our mood, our state. And so we have to be careful about what are the compositions of sounds we're using, because some can rile people up in perhaps a negative way.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can use music, chanting to, you know, energize us or calm us. And I think in some ways there's some music that's designed to connect us outwards. Mm-hmm. And then there's music, singing, chanting usually is geared more towards, even if you do it in a group, it's geared towards helping us to turn inwards and to connect to that voice that doesn't use words, so that then we're being, it's like the compass of the heart then can be mm-hmm. seen.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
beautiful
sense?
No, it makes totally sense.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking that's when you are feeling it. What did Rumi say? It's like, okay, feel into it, listen into it, listen into that silence. That is the beauty, actually, of not doing video calls, of doing these audio calls, because one really is stretching the ears to know when is the right time to share the outer voice and listen to the inner voice. So that was a lovely moment of truth right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Listening. So, you know, like Vedic chant, one of the things I teach is called adhyayanam. It's the art of listening, you know, and mm-hmm. And what you were saying about, because we have so much Zoom or Skype or whatever, I've been, actually finding exactly that, connecting with people, you know, here talking with you and those listening through the radio, through calls. And, Moshe Feldenkrais has an article called On the Primacy of Hearing. And so hearing is one of the first, if I think really one of the first senses to develop. It affects the tone of our body and et cetera. So mm-hmm. Just to give the eyes a rest can be so, so great in these times, especially.
Well, I think we also have the play with the here and now, right? To be present. And what many people don't realize is that when you create a tone, it's really literally the brain-heart coherence, because you were talking about the mind focusing or you know, finding these still points. But it is also fascinating that, you know, the inner and the outer worlds, it's like a gate, a portal, right? So you have your senses that are coming into the body. You also have the body expressing itself out into the world, right? So it's just all this connection is happening. And I think what many people don't realize, I mean, Moshe Feldenkrais was so wise to talk about listening, but what we are not necessarily aware of, not only is the voice connected to listening, but we're not aware that when we're putting in all this stuff, it's beautiful to listen to a good podcast. It's wonderful to listen to, you know, Chopin or a lovely song. But if we're putting in all this stuff, we need to have a way to, again, integrate and express. And if we're not able to express all this sound, then we're just stuffing and getting all this. I mean, that's just my sense. If we're watching lots of news and huge television series with violence or whatever, it's really hard for us. It might be a thrill for the moment, but we have to be able to digest it.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people are not aware of how powerful sound is in the body. And that's what you were saying so beautifully about taking a pause and doing a chant. Because if we're chanting something as simple as may my heart be well, or may I be at peace, you are also giving those messages to the body. And they're anchoring in the blood and the bones and the cell structure, right? The body carries the music into the future.
Absolutely. I mean, you're speaking in, I'm hearing, you know, what you're saying in very yogic terms. There's, you know, so there's the taking in, the organs of perception. And then for each one of those, there's a correlate, an organ of action. So the ears take in and the voice expresses out.
Mm, beautiful.
And so when we, like you were saying, when, you know, the eyes take in and the hands actually are the related organ of action.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So in other words, if we're only watching or listening, we need to complete the circle or the loop in the sensory motor loop. And I think a lot because of many, many reasons, some of us, you know, might at times be sort of like on the sidelines of life. We're watching the game, we're watching the concert, mm-hmm. and that's great. It can be inspiring. But, you know, it's good for us to find ways to really participate. And that may be oriented to performing, but may very well not be. More for the, mm-hmm. just for ourselves. Yeah.
Well, participating in our own quest, right? I mean, performing is one part of the journey, but there were many cultures that did not have a performance art that we had. So what they had was rituals where they either by themselves, of course, were on their own quest, or they were joining in ceremony in community and singing together, which I actually think
like
I would love
group,
to
right?
see this.
Like your women's group?
Yeah. Yeah, like my women's group, and I just am so passionate. I would love to see on every corner. There's some country, and we're almost going to take a break, and I thought it was Denmark, where they meet at sunrise at the city hall or the square to sing in the day. And it inspires me so much. And I wonder if we could bring these traditions to places like Minneapolis or places where one feels that there's a need to mend hearts and to come together, because the voice has no division. It has no division in race. It has no division in age or gender. When we sing together, we are one, right? Anyway, we're going to take a small break, Kevin.
Okay.
Mr.
Great.
Kevin Corton, and then we're going to be back in a couple of minutes and talk more about holistic voice.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstead, and with me in studio today is Kevin Corton. Kevin is the founder of Evolutionary Yoga, and we are talking about his new voice workshops and voice series entitled Healing the Voice, Healing the Heart, and also, I guess, his mentoring and guiding so many voices to find their true essence again. So, Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
I want people to get a taste, a little taste. I mean, you work in many different ways with your clients. You are a big advocate for really personal and individualized practice, right? So You're not someone leading these huge yogi groups where people are squeezed in like sardines and going through their downward dogs. You are really someone who's looking at the person in front of you and sensing and feeling what they need, mentoring them, and really, I guess, supporting them on their personal journey to where they would like to go and how they would like to heal. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up before we launch into giving some examples, because, You know, basically one size does not fit all. And the traditional way of describing this in terms of yoga practice, which could include movement, mantra, chanting, meditation, any of these tools of yoga, Vini yoga means that each one of us is different. There are going to be things that we share. There are going to be principles that will guide practice in general. But then the art of it is the application or the adaptation. And where sound is actually one of the more subtle tools, right? And yoga says, like homeopathy, the more subtle, the more powerful. And so, you know, it's great to get into groups and we decide on something that most of us agree that we can sing or chant together that's going to have some integrity and help us all. But if I could give an example before we actually try something. So I was working this past Saturday online these days with someone actually in Berlin, one-on-one, and I had a translator. And so this person has some back pain and I was, you know, developing a movement and breathing practice for them, very minimal, very gentle, very powerful in that way. And at the end, I thought, wouldn't it be nice if there could be just some sound that would help to vibrate and focus? And I was going to have the person try humming, which is what I probably should have done. Mm-hmm. And there was something in me that said, don't say this, but I did anyway. And ultimately, it was sort of a bump, and then it got to be clearer. So in the long run, it was good. But basically, I said, would you be open to hearing the sound of Om? And this person said, no, I really, I withdraw from that. I have an aversion to that. This is someone who's of a Jewish heritage. And this has happened before with people of various religions when they're offered a sound like Om, which does come from a particular spiritual tradition, is universal, but comes also from a particular spiritual tradition. People can have this aversion. And that's where Vini Yoga says, never give something to someone where there's any conflict or dissonance. And I said, pardon me, I just wanted to ask, but it was helpful because this person said, I've left a couple yoga classes because, you know, Sanskrit chanting was so central. And so in other words, And she's so sensitive to sound right now that actually she needs silence, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's an example. For some people, I do English. Some people, I do find their native tongue. Mm-hmm, for some Jewish mm-hmm. people, we do Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Some people are open to Sanskrit chanting, etc. So it's really about each one of us is different. And I found for myself that I, too, sort of had an aversion to Sanskrit chanting at first. But I think it was, for me, it was, I realize now that I was being told not yet, not that yet. And it came mm-hmm. to me later in a way that made sense. And I could connect to a universality of it rather than now I have to conform to some other way of thinking and being and doing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Kevin, yeah, Kevin, before you share more deeply, although this is a chant, I want the listeners to hear how you might guide a chant, and then you and I can explore that together. But I want them to listen to, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ganapati Prarthana?
Prarthana.
Prarthana.
It means an invocation.
An invocation. So let's listen to this first. And so the people can, this is one type of chanting that you do. You also, like you just said, do in Hebrew or in French or in English. You have many different ways to arrive at the tone, right? So let's just take a short listen.
Om Garnanantva Garnapati Gung Havamahe Kavin Kavina Mupamashravastamam Jirharajam Brahmarnam Brahmarnaspata Anashranvanutibhissidasadhanam Shri Mahagarnapataye Namaha.
Gordon, there you go. Such a full, rich, open voice. If I came to you and I wanted to heal my voice, and I felt that somewhere I'm a little bit stuck, maybe incredibly shy, how could I imagine a session with you? How does that work? Do I have to stand next to a piano, or do I have to stand straight with my feet together? And
yes, fifth position. No, I'm just kidding. No, really, really no requirements, prerequisites, just openness to giving it a try. And, you know, people will know whether they want that at that time. And so, you know, a couple different ways. Because I teach yoga and yoga therapy, and people come to me for personalized practices and therapeutic yoga practices to heal. And some people will want to have, or I'll introduce to them, and they'll say, oh, I never thought of that, but yeah, that sounds interesting. They'll want sound to be part of it. So that's mm-hmm. one way, you mm-hmm. know, in combination with breathing in the yoga postures and movements and seated breathing and meditation, sound. Sometimes it's just universal vowels or extended consonants. It might be as simple as, you know, shh, just to extend mm-hmm. the breath.
I love that. So,
is one of the six healing sounds from Chinese medicine,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, for the liver, etc. So it could be, you know, sound that has no particular meaning. And then there could mm-hmm. be, you know, I had one woman who is very much, and she lives in North Minneapolis. She's come to me for years. Sometimes she will sing the Black National Anthem, mm-hmm. you know, as part of her practice. And so mm-hmm. I weave that. I help her say, well, where do you, I suggest let's put it here, let's try it there. And then some people, it may be Sanskrit, it may be a piece of something from their past, like Dona Nobis Pacem for some people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have one person who's from a Christian background and she's been chant singing, I'm not sure which it is, it's an amen, amen. 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 And each one of those phrases gets a little longer. So you're also cultivating a long breath, which is one of the hallmarks of health, etc. So that's one way, yoga practice. And the other is some people, they just want to work with their voice directly. And so the main mm-hmm. focus is we're not preparing for a concert. I'm not against that. Believe me, I come from a performing background, mm-hmm. but it's a refuge. This is not about you proving anything. No one's going to analyze or judge you. This is just about you connecting to your voice literally and doing simple, things in the beginning that are just nourishing, and the kind of nourishment that can come from feeling the vibrations and the effects on breathing and therefore the state of mind.
Nice.
If that makes any sense.
It does make sense. Do you want to sure. show us how it works?
Sure. Okay. So I think I am going to offer a simple Sanskrit words.
Okay.
There's also something, if someone's interested in it enough, it's nice sometimes to listen to new sounds for our neuroplasticity, and it's kind of like fresh snow.
Right.
We don't have a lot of associations. So should we do a little call and response?
We can, if you're gentle with me,
Exactly.
Well, let's see if I can manage here. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. So you listen, I'll do it once, and then you do
okay.
it, and then I'll repeat the same thing, and then you repeat, okay? So.
Okay.
Ma.
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 Aham.
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 And then we'll put it together. So listen again. Ma. Aham.
Ma. Aham.
Ma aham.
Ma aham.
Okay, I'll stretch you a little bit now, but not too much. One more piece
okay.
here.
Okay, okay, okay.
Aham ma.
Aham ma.
Aham ma.
Aham ma.
Exactly.
Oh,
so how was that? You did great.
That's good. Yeah, and I think what I love so much is, as everybody probably knows on this call, is that I do a lot of coaching and a lot of leading and a lot of creating of circles. So it's always good for me to be in that place of receiving and in a way being guided, right? It's always a good practice to be on the other end. And I was thinking about that when you were talking about toning. In the yoga classes that I used to go to, and now I'm lucky enough once in a while to drop into your classes, which is a great gift. But I always felt like when I'm stretching, I wanted to do a tone, or when I was going into that, you know, the pigeon or whatever, I wanted to do a deep hum or a deep release. And it was so quiet in the room. And it just seems like voice, it is so personal, but it also, everybody in that room is going to hear you if you start humming. But I love that you are open to connecting and integrating movement and voice in the yoga practice. So not only, you know, that we're sitting and chanting, but that we're really moving through. I think you even have a thing called, correct me if I'm wrong, but mantra in motion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it can be, and that's based on, well, I found out I was doing it, and I found out that it's actually traditional, where you chant certain mantras. They could be simple, shorter, or longer, while you're doing, you know, you might, for example, inhale, raise your arms, exhale, you, when you bend forward, you would, you know, chant something like Om, for example, or this chant that we did. Mm-hmm. You know, even another way of accessing that we may explore in the workshop on the 25th, healing the voice, healing the heart, is what I call sounding from and sounding into. So like you've said, sometimes you'll start to go into a movement and you're like, oh, you know, like, oh, you'll people will do that, right? They'll groan or they'll be, you know, and so you're, to give a space and a time where there's freedom to let these things come out of us, let the voice speak, so to speak. And that may be coming from your muscles, your organs. So there's that kind of releasing and letting go. It's very powerful. And then there's another kind of opposite balancing to that. So that the first one is sounding from, and the second one is sounding into, where I can choose, for example, like if a part of my body is, you know, needs some attention or healing, is, you know, needs some strength, or, you know, someone's lower back, or someone I'm working with now who is, you know, has a tumor next to their lung, for example, we might inhale, when we exhale, we might hum and direct that towards that part of the body. So there's a kind of tonifying, you know, this not too tight, not too loose, as the Buddha said, but where you're actually directing your attention into and the through vibration into particular areas of your body or your emotions or to other people. And we don't have to really know any particular song or chant. It can just be a hum. It can be a vowel. And if even people who don't have a physical voice, we can always do all of this in our minds. And that's actually the way traditional chanting goes, is you do it out loud, and you do it softer, and then you do it with your lips, and then you do it in your mind. And then eventually it starts to continue to repeat without you consciously having to do it. So it becomes like a guardian inside of you to protect your
like
mind.
Like a rippling. Beautiful. Kevin, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back in a few moments.
Great.
I'm back again.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Life is a flow. And enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on Om Times Radio, called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and let yourself be transformed.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstead, and with me in studio today is Mr. Kevin Corton. And we left off with toning, with Teutonify, which I loved, and I had to throw in my two cents and say that the root of a scale is the tonic tone. And it's really that we have forgotten that we have the medicine that we need often, the tonic, right? I find that always so interesting. Also in tonic is that word tone, T-O-N, mm-hmm. Right there. Kevin, I have also a quote that I wanted to share with you today. You shared Rumi, and this is a quote from Pierre Teilhard de Jardin. I hope I'm saying that correctly. I know you speak French.
Desjardins.
Yeah, very good. Wherever humans have gone in the world, they have carried with them two things, language and fire. And he said, someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then, for a second time in the history of the world, man will have discovered fire. So this is my question to you. I want to play with you. So just like fire, a comet can burn, it can destroy somebody. And just like fire, you can set a heart aglow and you can set, you know, you can love as if it was like a powerful, passionate flame. So the control of fire by early humans was a turning point in the technological evolution of human beings. And do you think that we are at a point in evolution that if we understood the power of voice and its ability to heal, to inspire, to empower, to mend, and to give us tons of rejuvenative and regenerative energy, that we also would be at a point to take a quantum jump in evolution?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that beautiful. Was actually really beautiful, the fire and the way you contextualize it. It can, you know, burn or sear literally, or you know, a comment can lift someone up, or it can hurt them. Or sometimes, you know, a teacher may say something that seems hurtful at first, but you realize it burned away that which was false. You know, mm-hmm. You study with some masters who were famous for that. But we do have to be careful about what we say, how we say, and I continue to learn that lesson myself, to be honest. You know, I think as a child, I remember, you know, there was these first moments, nothing specific, but I would say something and then I would see, oh, wow, that really had an effect on someone. And it didn't land the way I wanted to, you know? And so we can't always control the way people receive things, but, you know, there's thoughts and thoughts become words. And so yoga talks a lot about thoughts, words, and actions, and how speech is actually external thought and thought is internal speech. And traditionally mm-hmm. you would use mantra to cleanse the thoughts and the speech. So, but yeah, so, I mean, again, my true confessions as a child, there was a point where, I may have told this story before, but it's a good lesson for me, like what you said. My mom said to me once, your tongue is your burden and your blessing, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. She was saying that sometimes you have a sharp tongue, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, the red dragon, as the Chinese call it. And other times the way I would my ability to use language, to use my speaking voice and my singing voice was actually powerful in more positive ways. And so that was a really tough thing to hear, but I think it's true for all of us, actually. And so this conscious use of the voice, as you, I think, use that phrase sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I think also that people that train their voice, is it's a little bit like sharpening your knives. You know, I work consciously in the kitchen often with dull knives because if they're too sharp, I can really cut my finger. But other members of my family, they love to sharpen the knives. And I think it's the same. If you train your voice, you have to be much more aware that it might land deeper in the body that you're talking to than you're even conscious of, because it's simply trained, right? So Kevin, I want to play with this thought of a quantum jump in evolution. I do want to play a song that you composed, that you wrote, that you share in many of your workshops and retreats and teachings. It's called The Peace Waltz. So I'd like to share this with our audience. Great. Yeah.
Salam Shalom Shanti Pax Pace Peace. Salam Shalom Shanti Pax Pace Peace.
We do think about that quote of, you know, what happened when we found fire? What happened when we found all of our voices? And what would happen if we consciously not only held the intent of world peace, but if we literally chanted and sang the peace waltz every single day, united together as a world, could we shift the consciousness in a direction where, yes, that is possible? Because it's something I deeply believe, that that is how powerful voice is.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that yoga teaches is that whatever we give our attention to strengthens in us.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
If we focus on love and patience, that we grow those seeds, you know, peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so we
mm-hmm.
can do that in our minds, in our voices, our breath. Absolutely. And I think the thing is we enliven our intentions by connecting them when they ride on the current of breath and the vibration of sound. Yeah.
Yes. Sound mind, sound body, right? Sound decisions.
Absolutely.
Sound
by
is
the way,
harmony.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm thinking the peace waltz, I created a verse that actually has three Germanic words for peace.
Okay, bring it on, bring it on. I'll be your guinea pig. Come on.
Okay. Well, I'll just chant it first, see if I remember. Correct me, because first is German, and then it's Dutch, and then it's, I think, Danish.
First
three are the same. Salam, shalom, shanti, Friede, Friede, Friede.
Friede.
Right, that's
Frieden. Friede.
Yeah. Frieden, Friede, Fred.
And then Frieden, Friede, Fred, Fred. Yeah, I have I have friends in Holland now, and it's quite the language. I'm really wrapping my tongue around that one. So, Kevin, we're coming to the close of this amazing show. I feel like I have so many questions that I have yet to ask you. So I'm going to have you on again at another time to keep on deepening our conversation. We've already heard you've created you're the founder of Evolutionary Yoga. So you've really taken all of your studies from not only from Vedic chanting, you also did a lot of somatic healing, Tantra, Feldenkrais. I mean, it's so rich. Mm-hmm. Evolutionaryyoga.com, I believe, is your homepage, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
And
join me for my workshop with your beautiful school. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're now also on the teacher's team, on the faculty of the School of Voice, which is excellent. And you are bringing in a workshop called Healing the Voice, Healing the Heart, and probably will expand out into series of, but there's so many places to heal the voice and heal the heart. So it'd be wonderful to have that as a series. You're also available for privates, for holistic voice and creating that mantra movement practice or only a voice practice. And what else are you designing in the moment for our lovely world? What is capturing your imagination?
Well, recently I wrote a song called My Voice it's very simple, that we may do in the workshop about the voice and the heart.
So
that will be premiered in the workshop.
Nice.
Yeah.
Keep it exciting. Yeah. Keep it exciting. What does love and action look like for you, Kev?
Love and action. Wow. I talk about inner activism. This is our quiet practice, that we tune into that compass of the heart so that then when we stride into the world, we know what to do. That's the way it looks to me.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And okay, well, let's tune in again. The Healing the Voice, Healing the Heart. I mean, this show is airing now, and it will also be in archives, but it is coming up at the School of Voice on April 25th. And if you're in Los Angeles, that's 8:30 a.m., so you get to have the sunrise service there. And New York, it's 11:30 a.m., which is 11:30 a.m., which is around lunchtime. So you can catch a... It's on Sunday, correct? Or is it a Saturday?
Sunday.
It's on a Sunday. Beautiful. Sunday. And we have 1:30 in Rio, and we have 4:30 in London. And, of course, we have 5:30 in Berlin, Paris, Madrid, Barcelona, all these cool places. There's so many cool places. I think, you know, tell me three words. Give me three benefits that I'm going to have as a human being if I start a chanting practice.
Long breath. Mm-hmm. Quiet heart, vibrant body.
Excellent. Long breath, quiet heart. It sounds like my new name I'm going to tattoo on my arm. Long breath, quiet heart, strong, vibrant body. I think these are excellent for us in these times. Long breath, vibrant body, quiet heart is what we do need. Thank you, Kevin Corton, for being on the Voice Rising show with me today. I wish you
much success.
Yeah.
There's your beautiful voice. Bye.
Bye-bye.